Mentoring has the power to make a significant difference in a young person's life. Mentors act as positive role models, nurturing youth through the more challenging times and help them navigate towards a successful adult life. With us today to discuss the important and influential role they play is Matilda Raffa Cuomo, the former First Lady of New York State, founder of the nonprofit organization Mentoring USA. She has edited a book called The Person Who Changed My Life, which is published by Rodale. And joining us from Newark is Cory Booker, that city's mayor and one of the contributors to the book. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always good to see you.
And we are taking listener calls. If you have a story about someone who's helped guide you in your life, let us know. You can reach us at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And Mayor Booker, you just returned from a Martin Luther King Day ceremony in New Jersey?
Yeah, we've had a number of activities today. This morning, a lot of people volunteering around the city, painting schools and doing other acts of service. So we had a kickoff. And then we held a very big job fair. About 3,000 people came out to Metropolitan Baptist Church in our central ward, you know, trying to enliven King's legacy, where he talked so much about economic justice as well.
Is mentoring a part of that program?
Absolutely. In fact, to the pastor's credit, David Jefferson, he pulled me aside and talked about recruiting already 250 mentors from his congregation with a goal of 500 to get involved with schools in Newark. So I'm proud of him, and I'm proud of the effort that we're really pushing. A lot of it inspired, frankly, by Ms. Cuomo. She's been here in Newark and really has been a national leader, and I'm just grateful to be on your show today with her.
Well, Matilda, should I assume that you had a mentor in your life? Is that what got you thinking about this?
Yes, I had two teachers, actually, besides my parents. And I still think today, Cory, you're just so wonderful what you're doing in this whole mentoring field, really, because the teachers themselves know that in the life of a child, if the parents are there and the wonderful grandfather, as you had, Cory, who was an exceptional man, I keep reading your story because it's so relevant and beautiful. Actually, if you're fortunate to have even the parents or one parent or teachers who believe in you, and they know which children are not getting as much guidance at home, and they draw them out, but teachers today seem overwhelmed. That's the sad part.
So, Cory, Matilda just blew the next question I was going to ask. Who was your mentor? Was your grandfather? What role did he play in your life?
Well, you know, family, and I don't want to go too far into the family, because the point I'm often trying to make is that the non-family members in our lives. My father, for example, would tell my brother and I that we are here because of a conspiracy of love, because of so many people that didn't have to, it wasn't expected or required, intervened in his life. He was born to a single mother who had a lot of challenges raising him because of things that she was going through. And so many people were there for him that it got him on the right track and got him going. And so I feel very blessed to have come from these extraordinary family figures. But the men and women I remember today and give honor to today are those people that were not my blood relatives, but were the people that coached me, were the people on the block that looked after me. I had a great trainer when I was a high school kid, a freshman, that going into his training room when he taped ankles, he went out of his way to engage me, not in sports conversations, but in current events, in politics, and really through his values underlined a lot of the work that I'm doing now by engaging me in conversations about what was going on in the world. There's many days I wish I could still go get my ankle taped from him, because Ed Kohler was just one of these guys that always took young people under his wing and tried to get them to be who he thought the world needed them to be, true leaders.
Well, teachers are often those mentors that are cited.
Yes.
Throughout this book, there are a lot of people who talk about important teachers, but not all of us had those teachers, and teachers can't be mentors to everyone. I never had a teacher who took me under his or her wing. There were a couple who liked me. Most of them were happy when I was quiet in class, and that was about it. So how do we get more kids mentored, especially kids who were really screwed up like I was when I was a teenager?
That's a very good question, because having this wonderful mayor, Cory Booker, with us, I'll tell you, When I go to
I didn't grow up in Newark, unfortunately.
When we're in a city like Newark, and you have a mayor like Cory Booker, you know that things are going to get done. And what he did for us in record time in the 18th Avenue School with the Baptist Church behind us, I mean, like you just said, Cory, if it wasn't for you, we would not have accomplished as much as we did in a short time.
You've said, Cory, that there are thermometers and thermostats. Could you tell us about that distinction?
Well, you know, I just talked about this today in the church I went to. You know, there's many of us in life that we allow our circumstances to impact upon us. And we just reflect the environment. If we walk into a situation that's hot, we get hot. If we wait for people to take control of our moods, we think that having a good day is more of a sense of chance than choice. But people who are thermostats in life really are those that set the temperature, that go into the world and realize that they have the ability to make a big impact. You know, here we are on King's Day, and he said it more eloquently than I could, that the problem today is not the vitriolic words and violent actions of the bad people, but the appalling silence and inaction of the good people. And what infuriates me, and I'm sorry, but I do get angry about it, is that so many people think our democracy is a spectator sport, where they just give color and commentary on what's happening. They talk about, oh, it's a shame that these kids are doing this, or it's a shame that kids are doing that, or more people aren't doing that. To be a mentor only takes a 4 hours a month, the That's amount right. of time we spend watching Dancing with the Stars, or if you're a fan of Real Housewives of New Jersey, or Jerseylicious, or Jersey Shore, I'm sure you are, Leonard, just 4 hours a month.
I'm not talking.
Just 4 hours a month. To give that up and mentor a child means that you can make a dramatic impact, because all studies have shown that the impact of a mentor for 4 hours a month drives down early sexual practices, juvenile delinquency, drives up performance in school. It's such a powerful impact. That's and right. as I look, like we had last week, an incident of violence involving young people who are so young, I imagine if they had gotten mentors when they were in fourth grade, they could have had dramatically different life outcomes. And my father reminds me of that all the time, sometimes too often. He says, but for the kindness of people getting involved in my life, son, I would have gone that way as well. So why do we have, you know, the biggest way that people don't actualize their power is when they just surrender it by not believing they have it in the first place. We have so much power that we just don't use by getting involved in things like mentoring.
Well, Matilda, what led you to establish your school-based New York State mentoring program? Was it concerns about kids dropping out, or was it all of the other things that Cory just talked about?
The core of the problem was dropping out of school, because when Governor Mario Cuomo came into his part of the governing of New York State, he found out right away there was a recession also. There was a huge school dropout rate and a new drug called crack. And he said to me one morning, he said, Matilda, you're a teacher by profession. Would you please get your teacher's friends? What are we going to do to bring out down this dropout rate? This can't continue, because that leads to many terrible things. Teenage pregnancy, actually the drugs was very bad. And also their lives are finished, because these poor kids, they don't go anywhere with the road they're taking. So we had to stop it. And I put a bipartisan committee together. We formed, and now this Mentoring USA is like two decades old, because we started with the New York State Mentoring Program, the first in the country, school-based, one-to-one, and it worked terrifically well.
Well, how does it differ from Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Well, it's a very good question, too, because I searched all the programs in New York State and nationally. They were all group mentoring at the time, completely group mentoring. These children need one-to-one. It works like a miracle. If you see the change in these children, I had myself, Cory, a fourth grader, Ellie Delgado, who I took care of her. We usually stopped in the eighth grade. But I took her through high school because her mother couldn't navigate the system. And she not only went through high school, she went to Hudson Valley Community College, and she took an associate degree in applied sciences. She's in a very big cancer center now working, 33 years old, accomplished. And to me, that's about the best gift I've been given in my life.
Well, kids drop out of school because of what?
Well, they drop out for a lot of reasons. First of all, they have no guidance at home. You know what it is?
But they have no jobs outside.
And they don't have anyone telling them.
Right now, it's hard to get a job, especially in the unskilled labor market.
Absolutely, absolutely. But nobody's telling them the importance of education. The immigrant generation, all of your listeners who come from the first removed generation that I am of immigrant parents, they will relate to this, because the one thing that they wanted was for the children to stay in school and educate themselves. My father used to say, it's the key to success. That's what you have to do. President Obama himself now is saying achievement through success through mentoring. So the fact is, we have to really consider the importance of helping our children to understand the value of education. That's what they're not getting at home.
The leaders at Gallup did a powerful set of polling where they were able to see predictive analytics. In other words, if they could ask kids questions in the fourth grade to see what their mind frame is about their lives, they could determine in a high predictive level if that kid would drop out or not. And it's amazing what the questions were. Do you have hope that school will yield to you a job? Do you have caring adults in your life that are not your parents? It was amazing the kind of things that had nothing to do with academic preparation, how many books they read or what have you. It really had to do with ideas of hope and the involvement of adults in helping them intellectually connect what they were doing now to what might happen in the future. And that's the power of a mentor. One solid adult in a kid's life could completely transform their life outcomes, and as a result of that, break generations of poverty, break them out of cycles of non-college attendance, and actually propel them and their future children into lives of profound contribution. So please, the people should really think, I'm the busiest guy, one of the busiest guys I know, but today I'm going out with my mentee, Keandre, to the movies. And if I could fit it into my lifestyle, there's really no excuse, especially because all of us have benefited from somebody.
I want to read some of the things that our listeners have been writing in and go to some of them who've been calling in. Patricia left this comment. My eighth grade drama teacher saved my life. I was living in a very dysfunctional family situation and seriously contemplated suicide. My teacher, Mrs. Kellums, saw that I was at risk and created a safe place for me. She gave me the extra time and included me in extracurricular activities. She validated my worth and gave me hope. I'm proud to say that I'm still in touch with her 40 years later. She continues to mentor youth and change lives. I wouldn't have survived without her.
Wonderful.
Wow.
And the mentor also never forgets the wonderful thing, as I had the gift with Ellie. That's the beauty of it. It's a win-win for the child who's being mentored and the mentor.
Now, we're getting calls from people who want to know how they can become mentors. Did they do it through your organization?
Absolutely. That's why I did the book. I need more mentors. We're in many cities across the country, as a matter of fact, developing the program. The program happens to be structured and really a wonderful, full of resources, wonderfully compassionate. And the people who run it, the people who are in the program are terrific. You know what you do? You go to www.mentoringusa.org. It has now, with the beauty of progress that we have and high tech, you have an application there that you get. They tell you exactly where to send it, how to send it, a training calendar, to be flexible, but is good for your timing and your life.
And this is not just New York. This is because we have listeners in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Connecticut.
Well, this would accommodate them in all the different cities that we're in. We would make the wherever they are, we would tell them where we are. And if it applies, it would be wonderful. I think that's the whole thing. And then finally, at the end, there is a screening process, because we're very careful. And thank God, all these years, I've never had any trouble, because we have to do that to make sure that we're getting the right person for the job, for being a mentor.
Now, Corey, did your mentors prepare you for some of the setbacks you had? You ran for mayor the first time against some serious odds. Sharp James was a formidable opponent. He defeated you in 2002. What happened after you lost that election?
Well, James Baldwin has a wonderful saying where he says, children are never good at listening to their elders, but they never fail to imitate them. And I think having great adult role models around me, I didn't learn from what they preached to me, or really what I learned from is watching them go through setbacks and watching them go through struggles. And, you know, so I grew up seeing my parents, seeing people in my community deal with very difficult challenges. And so in my life, I knew by the time I was in my 20s that often your greatest blessings come from your greatest failures. In fact, I learned from watching other people that often the greatest precondition to triumph is having setback, is having frustrations. So that was in my DNA, not only intellectually, but also sort of it learned in my spirit to deal with really bad losses like that. And we really faced a lot of dire consequences after that loss. So, you know, so much of life is not the academics. In fact, we all think about our teachers. Often the best lessons we get from them and others are lessons of the spirit, and the kind of internal fortitude to deal with frustration and setback, and even more so to, in your mind, to look and never lose the blessings or the lessons that come from those times when you fall down, because actually those are the times that yield you the greatest understanding.
We're talking to Cory Booker, who is one of, I guess it's around 75 people who have contributed to a book that Matilda Raffa Cuomo has edited. Is it 80?
80?
Including some of the most famous people of our time, Bill Clinton, Christiane Amanpour, John McCain, Midori, Harry Belafonte, Diane Sawyer.
All famous people.
The book is published by Rodale. You wanted to say something before we go to our first call?
Well, these wonderful people are busy like you are, Cory. And by the way, I'm impressed with what your grandfather called you, Cory the Great.
Yeah.
That didn't hurt.
No, not at all.
But, you know, these people made time, like Cory Booker makes time. That's all you need, a little
and
his, time.
And your staff as well, I gather, Cory.
Now,
we have a link to the website that you were discussing in order to become a mentor on our show page at WNYC.org. So you can just go to the Leonard LoPage Show and you'll find all that information. Let's take a call from Deborah from Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about my former fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Bernice Biddle. 40-something years ago, she touched my life. I was a kid growing up in the projects of Jersey City, and I'd never encountered a black professional before. I'm African-American, and this woman took my painfully inquisitive self that everyone perceived to be troublesome and redirected my interest toward the greater world. She introduced me to geography and cultures abroad and invited me to her home to meet her family, which was dramatically different from my family. She had a middle-class household where I grew up in a working-class household. And this exposure changed me so dramatically. I attribute all of my progress and success to her intervention, and I ended my career before starting a family as a manager at Goldman Sachs. And I just can't imagine how any of that could happen to someone who was so undereducated and unprepared for the greater world if it were not for this woman's intervention.
Thank you so much for calling us, Deborah. A listener points out that there are many struggling students in our schools because 4 out of 5 have trouble learning to read. And there are a lot of LD kids out there who are not really diagnosed well with dyslexia and other problems of that sort. Really bright kids who, with just a little bit of help, could wind up turning things around. So how do we deal with that, Matilda?
In the education system, as a teacher, I tell you, if this child was in the school, they are diagnosed, and they know right away. They should know that she has a special class to go to. We have in the program English language learners, and these are children from the immigrants who come into our country, and their children don't speak English. So you know that it's a little bit of a handicap, and you have to really help them right away and not make them feel guilty. It's just that way that they have to learn the language. So we deal with that.
Now, is there a difference between educating and mentoring, Cory?
I think so. In the broadest sense of the world, I guess everything is education. But, you know, I try not to confuse what's happening in our schools and the Herculean teachers that are doing such incredible jobs, but they shouldn't be doing it alone. In a vibrant democracy, everyone must be involved or engaged in some way with the next generation, with our youth. So to me, mentoring is the school system's more plus more. And, you know, what I love about it now, and I think Ms. Cuomo has one of the best programs in America, but there are a lot of other ways to do it. You know, a program that started in New York City that we're trying to bring to Newark is called iMentor, which for even busier people who can't leave their computer, it sets up sort of pen pal relationships with kids. So there's all, for whoever you are, you could be doing something to empower our children, to secure the future of this country. And the challenge we're facing right now in America is we're facing the next generation of kids that may actually have lower literacy rates than we do, that are we're still failing to heal the achievement gap in the United States of America. These are very problematic because our global economy now is a knowledge-based economy. And unless our kids succeed or close this achievement gap, especially when the majority of our workforce soon will be minorities, our nation's GDP will continue to decline in comparison to other countries. So this is a national mission to empower this next generation of children, and all of us have to participate in the same way that past generations had national callings towards putting somebody on the moon or in the civil rights movement. The national calling of this generation must be to better empower our kids to succeed so America can succeed.
Well, I know that. I'm familiar with that format, and it is really good, Corey. However, I find it, as a mother, a grandmother, I tell you the truth, and teacher, I think it's even additional to a program like this.
Yeah.
When a mentor face-to-face comes with that child, as you said, the 4 hours a month, it just works. The child is so taken with this person who gives them hope and makes looks in their eyes and says, you're going to make it. Don't worry. I'm here to help you. That personal feeling never leaves that child, because it means that, like your grandfather, like my parents who said, you have to be educated because you can do it. You can do it, and it's going to be better for you, and you'll have a better life. Nothing takes that place, that personal touch. I want to tell you something. We have so many humanitarians who are realizing the goodness of this one-to-one personal feeling for the child, because if the homeschool community, those three pillars of success for children that they depend on, when one of them is not working and dysfunctional, then the child is in trouble. And this now picks up on that. And George Soros has a foundation of the Open Society, Corey.
Yes.
And thanks to you and the work you're doing in Newark, we have the model now in Chicago and Philadelphia, fatherhood training to keep the family together. Because when the children have their mother and father, there's nothing better than that.
Now, Matilda, we've been talking about this in the United States, but you also have Mentoring USA Italia. Oh, we saw your interview for an Italian television show.
It's global, right, Corey? It's global. This works everywhere.
let's take...
molto buono, molto buono.
I thought everybody in Italy could read. We go now to George from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air. George, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi.
You know what you should do, George? You should turn off your radio because that's confusing.
I just turned it off.
Great.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a school psychologist. The way I became a school psychologist was by having a mentor, because I failed many of the subjects that I took in especially junior high school, but also in high school, because I was learning disabled. So I had to take the courses over again. But my guidance counselor in high school, Milt Loughlin, his name was, pushed me. He said, listen, there, you've got a spark. You've got something special. You can make it. And even though I failed Latin and I failed, you know, different subjects along the way, I took them over again. And my pastor got me into college, sort of the back door, you know. I would have never made it by application or by grades. But he got me in the back door. And the same thing happened in college. I got a mentor in college. And he sort of said, you know, you've got really a special spark. And he pushed me to take courses over again if I failed, and particularly English courses. I was learning disabled, so I had a real hard time with dyslexia and also, you know, just reading. It was very hard for me to read. So I would take them again and again. It took me 5 years to get through college, but finally I got out. And then I got into graduate school and actually became a school psychologist.
Congratulations. And congratulations for learning Latin. I'm not dyslexic, and I can't learn Latin anyway. So we have a situation now where kids are still dropping out.
Yes.
It's hard to get a job.
Right now, the schools are in terrible condition right now in New York City alone. It's very bad.
And since we need skilled labor out there, are people telling kids in the schools in Newark, you know, you better stay in school because you're not going to get a job otherwise?
Look, now more than ever, the connection between educational attainment and financial success is greater and greater. The difference between not having a high school education and having a college education is more than $1 million in lifetime earnings. So we know that. But what the caller said that I just want to pounce on because it's in my story.
And quickly, unfortunately.
In Mrs. Cuomo's book is telling that kid, making that kid believe in their heart that they are special, that they are capable, and that they're mm-hmm. destined for something. That is a tremendous gift, and that will fuel a kid through college, through towards their achieving their ambitions.
Cory Booker is one of many contributors to a new book that was edited by Matilda Raffa Cuomo called The Person Who Changed My Life. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.